My dear friends in Christ, may I speak with you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is one. Please be seated. How hard it is to do the will of God. How hard it is. We are hearing our texts in the midst of a troubling time in the world. I wrote a dear friend last evening, just before I went to bed, to just share with him where I was. That for much of these last days, I've had no words. No words to properly express the level of sadness that I feel. So many of God's children have been butchered, have been kidnapped, have been held captive, have been forced from their homes, bombed to smithereens. I have no words. I don't know where you are. I have no words. And I just wanted to share with you that I have no words. How hard it is to do the will of God, especially in times like these. How hard it is to speak a word about the God who has created all, in God's image. No hierarchy. No special people and less special people. No hierarchy of gender or sexuality. No hierarchy. God created humankind in his image. That's it. And when those texts landed in the ancient Near East, 1000 BC, we don't know when they first started to be sounded in that ancient land, they were revolutionary. There were notions amongst the various peoples that God created human beings, but only some. Pharaoh could claim to be the king of God, the special people. But the slaves, the folks with no land, women, these notions were revolutionary at the time, and, if you will, may still be revolutionary for us today. Imagine a world as God imagines, where there is no hierarchy, where all are considered equal, and where God has said that there is enough for all. There is enough land. There is enough water. There is enough clean air. There is enough food. There is, isn't there? Isn't there enough? I'm asking a question now. You know, you got to work with me, right? You know, you just can't come here and just sit down and expect to just you receive and not give me something. Is there enough?
Yes.
There is enough. Except that the human heart has been held captive. I had the privilege of studying with about 40 young people at the Church of St. Andrew in Scarborough back in about 2012. And I said to them, I said, what's wrong with the world? And as a person, they said, greed. Greed. There is enough for all except for greed.
It's not spread around.
It's not spread around. Yes. Yes. And at a time like this, when the men of war, when the men of war have taken over, and everyone is saying, we're gonna give you all the bombs you need. You just let us know, you know. The military industrial complex is gonna ramp up. Those boys have gotta make their money. You just tell us what you need, and we'll give you all that you need. And in the midst of it all, the Lord says, and you, beloved, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Love your enemies. That's it. Love them. And it's very hard to hear the word of love from the God who loves all in the midst of this chaos where the men of war have taken over. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, of blessed memory, who was a beloved friend of the Dalai Lama and the Arch. You know the Arch? Archbishop Desmond? And it says, beloved friend of the Dalai Lama, Archbishop Desmond, and the other Arch, Archbishop Rowan Williams. And he said that they were at some kind of conference, and Rabbi Sacks was speaking, and the others were sitting on a bench together. And as he was speaking, he heard this mumbling in the back, and he wasn't sure what was going on, but it became louder and louder and louder. And he realized that Archbishop Desmond was saying, God loves everybody. 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 And of course, he almost knocked Archbishop Rowan and the Dalai Lama off the bench. God loves everybody. God loves the people of Israel. God loves the people of Palestine. God loves everybody. But it's very hard. It's very hard to speak that word of love in the midst of this crisis. I've been listening. I've been listening. And I haven't. I don't know if you've heard it. All of our leaders are busy to line up on one side. And feel a real need to pick a side. And the word of God stands right there in the middle. And that word of God simply says, God loves everybody. And God doesn't want anyone to suffer. And the mission that God has given us is to be like God, to love everyone, even the ones who hate us. Our passage from the book of Exodus comes after the making of this covenant between God and the people, this wedding ceremony. And it also comes after the instructions for the construction of what is called the Hekal, the movable tabernacle, which would move with the people through the wilderness and would move with them and stay. It would settle at Shiloh for a while until Solomon would build the temple. It comes after that. Moses has gone back up the mountain, and he's now, so God has spoken the words of the covenant directly to the people. And now Moses has gone up to the mountain to get it in writing. And while he is there, as is with our humanity, they become impatient. Maybe they begin to lose a real sense that what had happened had occurred. We're no longer certain that Moses is with us. Maybe we just dream this whole covenanting ceremony with God. We don't know, but what we want is something tangible. We need a God. I met someone this week who said to me, he says, I'm not religious. And I said, my brother, you are religious, you just don't know it. The truth is that we're going to worship something. Whether we worship the God of the universe or not, we're going to worship something. And that something may be, for some it may be sex, for some it may be money, for some it may be position. You see where I'm going? We're going to worship something. And what they said to Moses, to Aaron, is make us something we recognize. Because, you know, back in Egypt, they worship calves and other things. Make us something we recognize. Make us a god so that we can worship. There's much that has been taught about how Aaron failed. But I just want us to know that Aaron is just like any one of us. That when things get difficult, such as a time like this, it's actually really hard to do God's will. In the book of Numbers, it will say that there were almost 1 million people. We don't know how truthful that is. But lots of people And it's all men who gathered around Aaron and says, "We're not sure about this, Moses. You make us a god." And if you've ever been in a situation where you feel, where you have felt that your life was in danger, where people have been ganging up around you, if you stand in that moment where you feel you don't have a choice, you know, I'm not sure here. I want to do what is right. I want to stay faithful to God. But I got about 500,000 angry guys around me. What am I going to do? Peer pressure, right? Peer pressure. You've been there, right? And so Moses succumbs. And then when he realizes that they have in fact broken the first covenant, the first thing that God is deeply concerned about, more than anything, what God is concerned about is idolatry. Idolatry. When he realizes that, Moses tries to make a recovery. He says, and if you're studying in your Bible, and in the Hebrew Bible, wherever you see L-O-R-D written in capitals, you know that underneath that is what's called the tetragrammaton. You know that? The Yod, He, Vav, He, right? The sacred name of God, right? So it's always written in the capitals, right? So Moses realized they've gone off track, and he comes back and he says, "Well, let's make an altar and let's return to worship of this God." But of course, it was too late. So Aaron realizes his mistakes, tries to get back on track. But it's too late. What is Moses to do? He's up on the mountain. And God says, "Off with their heads. Let's just start again with you." This is a different kind of pressure, beloved. Because now you might say, God is right. They failed. They've turned to idolatry. You know? Imagine a whole people made in my image. It's pretty seductive, isn't it? Right? Isn't that what the drive for cloning and all of that good stuff is about? Right? That people, the human beings have this notion that the world would be perfect if everybody looked like you. Am I right? And this most seductive of propositions is put to Moses. And it's coming from who? The big guy. And here is where Moses gives us an important teaching for our hearts. And Moses says, "No, I am reminding you, God, about who you are. That you are the God of salvation. That you did not bring this people out here to kill them. But you have brought them out of here for your purposes. And your purposes is always about liberation. And you, God, even you, God, are not to do anything which will in fact bring your mission to an end." And for the first time in Scripture, we hear that God changed God's mind. And why that is important is because it's important to know that the human being that God entrusted with the leadership of God's people found a way in the midst of what could have been a catastrophe, found a way to stay true to the will of God. The Lord Jesus is with his disciples. He's coming to the end of his ministry. This is the third of the three parables which are teaching about the nature of the kingdom of God. And the way these parables are crazy. They're not easy to understand. You know, the way to think about this is Donald Trump is throwing a party. Right? He's throwing a party and he says to Giuliani, come! And Giuliani says, no, I'm busy. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that?
Amen.
Right? That can't happen because they function in what is called a patron-client relationship. Patron-client relationship. And the king in this parable is the patron. And everyone else mentioned is a client. And if the patron says come, what do you do? You come, right? And the fact that they don't come begins to suggest something important. It's a long parable. We wouldn't have time to pull apart all of the layers. But just this, that in this parable, God is shown as one who invites. And if those who were invited refuse, God invites again because God is merciful, eh? Yes? God is merciful. God says, come again. And if they don't come again, now there's some violence in there, which we'll, for the purposes of this teaching, we need to skip over. But not to ignore it. Perhaps we can get to that at another time. But God broadens the net, calls others. And what's important about this is that God is saying to us in this parable that God's mission of bringing healing to the world will go forward. Archbishop Colin Johnson says that if you read the book of Revelation, what you can say about the book of Revelation is, in the end, God wins. In the end, God wins, and that God will not give up until the day comes when love will reign, when the human heart will have lost its addiction to greed, and when we will come to say with Archbishop Desmond and everyone, God loves everybody. God loves everybody. And even the ones who may hate us are still bearers of the image of God. Somehow, we've got to have eyes to see. Do you watch Father Brown? Do you know what I'm talking about? Father Brown? Yes? There was an episode where one of the bad guys comes to church on Sunday morning and says to Father Brown, he says, is there room for me? And he says, of course. And he says, it's remarkable. I'm paraphrasing. I don't remember the exact words. It's remarkable that you are able to see the good even in someone like me. And Father Brown says, because there is good there. There is good there. Why? Because he too is created in the image of God. And something about the transformation that Jesus is inviting us into is to be able to see that and to continue to do the work. St. Paul is in a hard place when he's writing this letter to the Philippians. He's actually in prison in Rome. I don't know if you've ever been in the prison. Anyone? It's not a nice place, especially if you're not just visiting. Right? So he is in a hard place. And yet what he's writing a love letter to the church in Philippi. What he's saying, don't even let my situation in its hardness detract you from the importance of the mission that God has given to you. Be of the same mind as Christ. The same mind of Christ is to know that God loves whom? I can't hear you. God loves everybody. And our job is to continue that ministry of love. I want us to close today with a prayer which a rabbi from the Holy Land wrote to all the members of his community at this time. So let's calm our hearts and I'll pray this together for us. May the one who blessed those before us bless all those suffering from the devastating atrocities and their aftermath in our midst. May the souls of those departed because of violence and hate and its reverberations rise and find peace. And may their loved ones find comfort somehow, somewhere. Amen.